Good morning.
You probably don't realize this, but you don't know how stressful that is when that thing goes down for a preacher. You got a lot of hours in this lesson, and you really don't want this to go down. But thank you, Darren, Wesley, pulling that off. I'm going to speak quick, just in case this goes down. That's what the lesson's about, is we're only here for a little while. This was a song by Billy Dean back in the 90s that really kind of touched my heart and made me think about how fast life really goes for us. And I want you to think about this in today, because today is the day for you to make a change in your life. For some of you this week, we are very thankful for your opportunity to obey the gospel. Such a joyous occasion for us to have you make yourself obedient to God. There's nothing more in this world than that obedience. That is such a great feeling for all of us, and we welcome you into this community to share this love that we have for our God. As it mentioned in the overhead, one of Dad's favorite verses, just the B part of this, is it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's how fast it is. That's how fast our life goes, right? And from the scripture reading, if you look at this in 1 Samuel, I don't really want you to go over the whole part of this, but talking about this love for Jonathan had for David, and he thinks about how serious of a situation it is. Saul's out there talking about this, and he says, there is but a step between me and death. And that's what it is even for us today. But a breath before we leave to the next world. To this next place that we really don't even want to think about sometimes, what heaven or hell is going to be like. But it's there. In just a glimpse of an eye. It's just in a blink of an eye. Just a moment, it's gone. And we think about it. We're only here for a little while, as the picture denotes right there. And each year of our life, each month of our life, each day, we see life in a different perspective, right? Depending on how we feel. I get off the treadmill at 50 years old, and then when I got off at 20, I feel a lot different. Especially the next day. If you even want to, you think about selling it now, every day. That's what I feel like doing. But we think about this, and we're like, there are certain songs that came up. Even the one I just mentioned, I listened to all three of these songs today. I'm sitting there, the lesson. And, I mean, you got Jim Croce with the basically Time in a Bottle, and Harry Chapin with Cats in the Cradle. And when you hear these songs, especially one that Tracy Lawrence with Time Marches On, you realize that it is. It's just bang, 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 and here we are. And a lot of times, even that Cat's Cradle kind of gets to me, like, man, I really didn't see my parents a lot when I was growing up. And as a parent, I wonder about them. Do I spend enough time with my kid when I have the opportunity, right? You really wish you would have taught them a little bit more. You really took time to be with them. But one thing about it, time doesn't stand still. It continues to move on. So how do you remember? How do you remember? So Megan told me this lesson wasn't colorful enough. It was very dreary. So I just throwed some pictures in there behind it. Don't mean nothing. But they actually do if you look at it. They do. They'll mean something once you kind of look at the whole big picture. Years. They go fleeting by. And just ask your grandparents or your parents. It's amazing to me when Dad talks about these small details he had as a kid. I was like, man, how can you remember 70 years back? 75 years back? How do you remember that? Because I can't even remember stuff from last year. Well, I was like, man, you're blessed with good memory, Dad. I can tell you that. But a lot of us, we realize things happen. We don't want them to happen. For me, what rings my bell now is I'm like, Meg, I got to get those taxes over there. It's been a year. Right? A lot of us, a birthday reminds us of when another year has passed by. Also, What gets to me a lot of times is when I look at the back of my checkbook and I look and I'm like, that was 3 years ago I got those done. Those tires lasted 3 years. Yeah? Just different things kind of ring a bell. Like, wow, that was really that long ago. But for a lot of us, when we think about this part of it, for God, in perspective of what He really, how it really is for Him. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. We exist, but in God's perspective, it's just, I mean, it's like nothing. It didn't even happen. But it does happen. A lot of things happen for us while we're on this earth. So how important is a year of your life? You look forward to it? I mean, do you really look forward to the next year? Do I put a lot of things in for God? I want to, because if you was back in these slaves, back in the Old Testament, Exodus 21 and 2, it says, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go free and pay nothing. That means a lot, that next year, don't it, for him? Especially for this next chap, it meant a lot for him too. It says in Genesis 29 and 20, but so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love we had for her. You know, if you think about, would you really want to put that time in for the Lord? Would you be willing to work for anybody here for 7 years? Just give away your life for 7 years for anybody? Does your spouse mean that much to you? When you look back and think how much they really truly mean to me, would I be willing to work, be basically a slave for them? How do you see your perspective with God as the years go by? Do you see it as a challenge, as miserable? And the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they came to inhabit a land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Do you think, we got to eat manna again? Are you serious? There ain't nothing else up there? Or I'll be like, man, I'm so thankful that I have something to eat today. How do you look at your life? How do you appreciate your Lord and Savior? When you look at people in their lives, some people are just miserable people. The only thing they remember is all the miserable things that ever happened to them. And they want to express that to you every time they see you. They don't talk about any joyous occasions. That's really difficult for a Christian when you look at them. You're just like, are they really unhappy? Are they that miserable being a Christian? Think about that. I want to use this next perspective as another acronym. You know, you guys like that. I like that old acronym, parts of each word. But I put this in this for a month. And when I think about the month, each month, how do I remember each month of my life? Well, I think about how much maybe I don't do for God. Because when you think about this poor widow in Mark 12 and 42, then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. Am I willing to give everything I got? Am I really able to go into my bank account and put it all in a basket? There's a lot of people that leave money when they die. There's a lot of people that leave money to certain things when they die. Am I willing to give it all to the Lord? If I was to sit down there, would that be part of my what I wanted to make sure inheritance, that's where we're going. How do I look at that? You know what that number represents, anybody? If you do, I'm really impressed. Each month, if you come to services, Sunday and Wednesday night, that's how much of your life that you put into the Lord. 0.021%. That's how much. That's all that is. 2 hours. 2 hours a week. Adds up. 8 hours. That's all you give to Him. That's not much, is it? That's something for you to think about. If that's all you do is come in. And that's if you come in here 2 times. Some people don't come in here even 2 times. They don't even put that much time. So this might be the maximum number. And it goes downhill from there if you start missing. Think about that. Obedient. Titus 3:1, remind believers to submit to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and to be ready to do any honorable kind of work. This is a reminder for me, because certain parts of the year we do evaluations at our work. And sometimes this is the only time that I think about for myself my submission, if I'm obedient. Because either I think terribly of them or I think they're the greatest. I kind of pick and choose all the time. I'm just like, yeah. So for myself, is that how I am with the Lord? Only when I'm in this, only when I'm in this crowd, I'm obedient. You ever ask yourself that? When I walk out of here, I'm not. I'll do what I want. I'll act like I want. I'm going to tell people how I feel. Neglect. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? You know what neglect is? Neglect? It's no respect. It's no respect for your Lord. When I neglect something, that means I don't respect. I don't respect Him. I don't give Him the full authority. I don't give Him what I consider the proper... either I don't have proper teaching or guidance or instruction for myself to be obedient. It all kind of goes back in because I neglected the first part. I didn't give my whole life to Him. And also, I wasn't obedient. Now I just neglect. I don't even respect Him. But there is some good things about each month that I remember back now that has helped me. And I've heard it back from different members in here. This temperance is an important part for a Christian. It's important for me. Because I'm just like every one of you. I'm a sinner. But I remember, especially off the next point we're going to look at, of how I can get through it. This temperance in Galatians 5:23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. This temperance is your ability to resist sin. You know, for me, when I was I carried a sin just like everybody else probably has different sins that they carry. But I had one that really, really I struggled with. Bad. Terrible. And it really didn't mean anything for a couple of days when I resisted. But I'm telling you, when it got to months, it meant a lot. It meant that I was finally getting over the hump. And I could resist it. And even this day, I think about when it was when I started resisting that sin. And how much better I feel. Now it's been months. Now we're working on years. That really makes a Christian feel good. How about you? Are you stuck in the hours? Are you stuck in the minutes with that sin? You're not willing to give up? Last part of this is hairs. Matthew 10:30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You know, when I think about this verse, I never really give it much thought until a couple years back. That when I think about hairs in my head, Megan has this issue she deals with. It's autoimmune disorder. Megan, I'm gonna point you out there, and it's something that deals with her hair. And I think about how important hairs your head is. Because you know what? My wife, even though she knows me better than anybody else in this earth, do you think she knows how many hairs are on my head? You think she knows me that well? I know myself pretty good. Do you think I know how many hairs are on my head? No way. But God knows. So the person taking care of me the most knows more about me than I do myself. That's how important your God is to you. Today, Mike, I thought about you with this. I put this on there for Mike. I was hoping you'd be here, but thank you, Mike, for coming. Because Mike, when we stop after a game or something, he gets papers from every state. Is it every state? I'm just kidding. But he gets like three newspapers. I said, Mike, is there that much stuff going on that you look at? But you know what? He reads them papers. He does. And he knows I have a question about any kind of, especially the sporting event, he knows. And I go to him for guides. But you know why? Because today, that's when things happen, right? I get to go. It's my turn. I used to go to Cedar Point, sit in, everybody knows this, sit in line for 4 hours, stay in line for 4 hours, whatever you can do, just pass the time. You get up there and you're 8 seconds, it's over. Are you serious? Let me go again. Nope, that's tomorrow. I ain't staying in line another 5 hours for that 8 seconds of glory right there, right? But that's for a lot of us. Today is, you get to go, it's your turn. That's what you should think about as a Christian. Today I can make a difference. Today I can make a change. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know what I think about a lot about this verse? A lot of you I don't see every day, do I? How can I lift you up if I don't talk to you? How can I lift you up if I don't see you? How many in here reach out to another Christian? Think about that. How can I exhort you, Cassie, daily if I don't talk to you, but maybe next month? It's kind of hard to do that, isn't it? But it's commanded in Hebrews. I just let it go. I had the opportunity today to help you lift you up, get you over that sin, but I didn't take the opportunity. Luke 23:43. I'll tell you how important today is. It says, and Jesus said to him, surely I say to you today, you'll be with me in paradise. You ever thought about being in the right place at the right time? Pretty important that situation, wasn't it? You ever know times that you wish you would have went that day and did that thing and you missed out? A lot of it is because we missed out on material possessions. Usually we don't think of the spiritual side of things. Today's pretty important. Today you're sitting in here. You could be doing 1,000 other things, couldn't you? But today you chose to serve God, didn't you? Luke 4:21 says, and he began to say, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You think about this, that thousands of years went by that this thing was going to happen. There was going to be this Messiah come. These guys were sitting around, and that was the day. What they've been waiting for all this time, it happened that day. That's pretty important for you. Maybe today, your kid looks at you and says, you know what? I want to be a Christian. You know, today, my parents are here bringing me to services. That means a lot to me. I want to be a better person. God has given you this day, this moment in your life. You don't know what it's for. Maybe He gave you this day to wake up and say, you know what? You need to get rid of that sin. I want to give you one more day to get rid of it. You need to get baptized. You need to become obedient. I want to give you one more day to do that. Maybe this is today. Because 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It is the day. Tomorrow. I always feel like this is the devil's crutch. The devil's tool. Vacation, surgery, weather. Everybody looks at tomorrow a little bit different, right? Vacation, man, I can't wait to get out of here. What time's that plane leave? It's tomorrow at 6:30. I'm out of this place tomorrow. But if you're looking at surgery, a 6-hour surgery, and you got a 50% chance of life or death, tomorrow is not looking as promising as that vacation, right? So everybody looks at tomorrow a little bit different. When I was a kid, I used to do a rain dance when I knew it was hay day tomorrow. Did anybody look at the schedule? What's the 7-day forecast? How about 2-day forecast? Please let it rain. Dad, don't put the hay down. So we all have a different perspective of tomorrow, don't we? Solomon warns us, Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. How many people have you heard something happened to them And then the next remain part of their life. They don't have any sort of life. That day was the rest of their life. It was misery. Because of one single day, it changed their life. A lot of us brag about this. We get proud. We get proud of our self-edification, and we don't realize what Solomon, what he's talking about here. Because one day could change your life forever. Is it? And I don't want you to take this wrong, but it is good to plan for tomorrow. It is good to plan for certain things. But don't build your lives on thinking you want to. I want to get this done tomorrow. I want to help this person out tomorrow. I want to change my life tomorrow. You're not guaranteed it. It's just the devil's opening to tell you. You know what? You'll be okay. That sin will be all right. You can work on that sin tomorrow. It'll get better. James 4:14, which is the first part of that verse, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? Right? You don't know. The devil wants you to keep continuing that sin. Take your gamble, take your dice roll on Judgment Day. It'll be okay. It's not that big of a deal. Talk about the brevity of life then. How big of a deal is it? Psalms 90:10 says the days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only a labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And we fly away, right? Raise your hand. How many is above 70 in here? Got a few lucky winners, right? How many is above 80? All right. A few more went up. Or actually, a few more went down. That's reality, isn't it? Because when I think about my life and what it is for me, this is what it is for me. Just so you know, this is how much time I have if 70 years is what I got left. For Lily, it looks pretty good. She got 61 years left, right? She's got a lot of months, a lot of weeks, and a lot of days. Sydney? She's still good shape, I feel. Right? Got a lot of time left. Megan, you're still chugging along. You still got 34 years left. That's a good bit. For me, it wasn't so good. When I realized how much time is already left on this earth for myself. I put more time in this earth than I got left. And for a lot of us in here, that is the case. If we go off of this part up here by reason of strength. What's reason of strength? We don't know what that is. Megan takes x-rays on somebody every night coming through the ER. They don't know if they got tomorrow. For some reason, they know that day, they ain't feeling very good. And for a lot of us, these days, I actually had to change the slide. Based off of, I gave it last week. It already went down a week. I was like, oh man, I don't think I'm going to use this lesson much more. It was starting to hit up too much. I was like, I don't want to go through this again. But look and see how much time I'm wasting on this earth. But I feel like that myself. That we really do waste a lot of our life, and don't put very much time in for the Lord. So this hymn or this song or whatever you want to take it, however it's wrote. I want you to look at it, and I want you to think about the words as part of it. I'm not going to sing it, even though I like Billy Dean. I was going to sing one verse of it, but I said that's not really proper for this. But when I think about it, since today I stood singing songs and saying amen, saying goodbye to an old friend who seemed so young. He spent his whole life working hard to chase a dollar, putting off until tomorrow the things he should have done. Made me start thinking, what's the hurry? Why the running? I don't like what I'm coming. I'm going to change my style, take my time, and I take it all for granted because we're only here for a little while. I'm going to hold who needs holding, mend what needs mending, walk not what needs walking, though it seems an extra mile. Pray what needs praying. Say what needs saying. Because we're only here for a little while. It makes you think about a lot in life, don't it? As a Christian, what's it made you think about? What does these words make you think about? Do you have a grudge with somebody that needs taken care of today? Prayers this congregation needs you up. Do you have a certain sin? Maybe you've even done it today or last night. That needs mended. That the prayers of this congregation could help you with today. Because the devil wants you to think tomorrow you can get rid of that. You can take care of that. You'll be fine. There's a lot to be said about these certain parts of these verse of this psalm. And for myself, I felt like a lot of times that I didn't take the opportunity to say I'm sorry. I didn't take the opportunity to say I'll help you out. I didn't take the opportunity to get down on my knees and pray to God and tell Him, please, please help me with this sin. Please help me not be so ungrateful. What do you suffer with this day? A lot of you look at that last slide and think, the slide before, thinking, you know what, I've put all this time on this earth and I haven't done anything. I truly, when I look back at my life, I really didn't give God anything in the 30, 40, 50 years I've been here already. I haven't done anything. I haven't asked to help out. I haven't. But you know what? God give you another day. Don't sit back and think about what I didn't do. That's what I want you to think about in this lesson. I want you to think back of what I didn't do. It's what I can do this day. Not tomorrow. Today. I can make my life right with God today. That's what I want you to take from this lesson. How can you do that? Well, you can do that by having the prayers of this congregation help you. If you have that need in your life, we ask you to come forward. Also, if you've never become a child of God, we've had some great examples this week of how to do that, how to become obedient. Why not take that opportunity? If you feel the need, would you please come forward as we stand and sing?